what's going on? It's coverage season.
We're back.
It's a recap. Week 11. Oh my.
My
Oh my
God.
word.
My God.
Lamar Jackson.
Magic. Lamar Magic Jackson. You can't forget his name. You can't
I just want
forget
to
the
say these
tricks.
stats
You
real
can't
quick.
forget it. We're going to start with that
17
game.
of
Let's go.
24. 17 of 24. 222 yards passing. Four touchdowns.
Get it.
Nine carries. 86 yards. With a 9.6 average. His longest run of the day went for 39 yards.
MVP candidate against MVP candidate. Oh, did we not? Can we mention the score? Can we mention the score?
41-7.
Say it again. Say it one more time for the people.
41-7. That's
Gee.
how bad they beat the Texans. Now, understand this. Understand this. The Texans only had one turnover, which was an interception. Normally you think in a blowout that, they might have forced a lot of fumbles and, interceptions, and you would think that from looking at this score if you didn't watch the game, but that's not
No.
what it was.
It was four and outs. Well, three and outs. It was a lot of three and outs.
They
No,
brought the pressure
a lot. A lot.
every single time.
The defense, oh my God. The defense, the Baltimore defense, it was crazy. It
I
was
think that's the best they've
ridiculous.
played all year.
Seven sacks. Seven sacks on Deshaun Watson. That's not including the hits that he took or anything. With that being said, the Houston Texans are not out of it. I don't think
Oh, of
that.
course not.
I think that with the loss to J.J. Watt, like I said this weekend, it definitely gonna take a hit on their defensive side. But they are not out of it. They just went against a very, very good Baltimore Ravens defense that is steamrolling any and everything right now. I do think that their offense, especially with Fuller not being able to play, it really hinders and limits just to DeAndre Hopkins and Kenny Stills. Darren Fells is still a highly targeted tight end, but the running game was not where it needed to be. Carlos Hyde was only able to do so much that he had the only score of the game at the in the fourth quarter. Deshaun Watson 18 for 18 out of 29. Not that great, but he needs more. He needs somebody to target. He needs a receiver. Now, with that being said, quick insert. This would be a great fit for an Antonio Brown. A place that's looking for another highly decorated receiver and a team that is still has a lot of playoff potential and is ready. He can go in right now and he could produce for that team. He goes in there,
Well,
I think he helps turn around the offense. Now the defense, that's a whole different story. But offensively, Deshaun Watson needs more weapons. Baltimore Ravens, we don't even need to talk about their offense that much. There were some mistakes that I saw with Lamar Jackson, but that also comes with, his playmaking ability and, the decisions that he makes with the RPOs. Looking at some of the plays that he pulled and rushed. Average quarterbacks are going to make those reads and do the same thing and not be able to get the same yardage. He's able to, make those plays and get more yards because of his athleticism and his freak of nature ability. So those were, some of the small mistakes that I saw, on offensively on their side, but still big ups to Mark Ingram. He did his thing, and so did Gus Edwards. Both of them very effective, rushing and receiving. Gus Edwards, 112 yards on 8 carries and a TD. Mark Ingram had two receiving TDs, So, you know, the offense is clicking very, very well. What you got,
this
Ollie?
This is my thing with the Texans. I don't think they need Antonio Brown. They've been balling without him. They don't.
I don't think they need Antonio Brown, but I think he could be a good fit in there, especially with, you know,
What they need in Houston is consistency on the offensive line. That's what they need.
Oh, for sure.
I know getting Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills from Miami, that was a big trade for them. They shored up some things. But they need to get some more players on the offensive line. That's where they were hurt the most, because they didn't have time to stay on the field. Didn't have the time to stay on the field. Deshaun Watson's a much better quarterback than what we saw on Sunday. And it's unfortunate because, yes, the Baltimore Ravens are steamrolling and they're balling right now, and Lamar Jackson's having an MVP-type season. Mm-hmm. But the reality of it is Deshaun Watson is not getting much protection. And then, of course, you look at his targets. With Will Fuller out, which is a big loss for this team. He was their third guy last year. They had big expectations for QT coming into the season, but he's been injured. He has no rhythm. He's been inconsistent. But if you look at their targets from Sunday, Kenny Stills and DeAndre Hopkins had a total of 19 targets throughout the game.
Yeah, 19 targets.
The rest of the team as a whole only had 10. So their receiving core, that was QT, that was Darren Fells, that was Atkins, Carlos Hyde, Duke Johnson. They were not, you know, looking for anybody else. He was just looking for those two guys. And unfortunately, that's what happens when your blind side is getting bulldozed and coming at, and the edge play is coming at you. You don't have time to look for everybody else. You don't have time to go through your progressions. So you're just throwing it to the guys you know. The two guys that you trust the most on the team right now are the only guys that you're throwing it to. And when the defense figures that part out, you're easy to beat. You're easy to stop. So that's what I think is hurting them. I think that they just need to shore up the offensive line. Bill O'Brien is a phenomenal coach. He's a great offensive mind. Yeah. And the defense is, you know, they've been kind of shaky on this season, but they're still a legit defense. It's still most of the players that have been playing. Listen, J.J. Watt, he's a great player, but that guy is hurt every other year. Couple of months he's hurt. And those guys on defense know how to play without him. Damn it, I'd say they play better with him sometimes when he's not in the lineup. So I'm not really worried on their defense. I think they just need to, you know, look for a damn free agent or something with the playoffs coming around. There's no time to mess around now. The playoffs are only a few weeks away, so there's no time. You were just at the top of your division, and now because you lost this game, now you're done. Now you're potentially a wild card team. Now you're not locked into that position. So I think that hurts them. On the Ravens side, however, they're legit. That's all I can say. I mean, I knew that they were going to win their, you know, division. I've been high on them all season. I was a little concerned with the inconsistencies for a few weeks from Lamar Jackson, but I think he gets it. That's the biggest thing with Lamar Jackson. I think he gets it. He understands that this is my job. This is what I need to go do. These guys rely on me, and I know how good I am. So he understands it, and he knows the defenses are going to focus on him. He uses that to his advantage. He has a great receiving core. Snead has been playing well. Marquise Brown, I hope he stays healthy for the remainder of the season, but he's been playing well. And hello, hi, how you doing? His damn tight ends, all of them. Andrew. All of his weapons, Andrews, Hurst, Williams, he's using everybody. So, you know, he's definitely been, you know, progressing as a leader and quarterback.
For sure. And with that, we go to our next game, which, unfortunately, I didn't get right this week, but the Bears versus the Rams. Now, I did mention that the Bears were not going to be able to win this if Mitch Trubisky was not going to show up and show out. And what happened? Unfortunately, he got hurt. You know, hopefully his injury is not season ending. They're still, you know, evaluating it. But, you know, I had them coming out on top 24-17, still a close game. And it was somewhat, you know, still close. The Bears still had a shot, but without Mitch Trubisky, they were not going to win this one. The Rams, they came out gunning and shooting, but they still are, you know, they're not the same high powered offense that we saw, you know, last year and 2 years ago. Todd Gurley fumbled on the first drive. This has been the third game straight that he's fumbled on the first drive. Fumbleitis, but he did show out. That's one thing I can't say, that he did show out. He showed up. They used him effectively this game, and I want to see more of that. I want to see Todd Gurley more included in the offense. Now, the only thing that the only reason I could see Todd Gurley not getting as many reps as what we had been seeing is load management. I don't think we've been, you know, discussing this enough with Todd Gurley as far as load management. I think, you know, people have been, you know, inquiring about his injury, you know, his knees. Can he handle it? Is it something that, you know, something wrong there? But I think it's more of a load management issue. The way that they plan for these games, that's what's really going on. Other than that, the Bears defense, they did what they do. They were able to slow down the Rams considerably from putting up high numbers. You know, even with the, you know, a lackluster offense, and, you know, no Cook. They're still the Bears. You're not going to go out there and throw 300 yards all over them. That was not going to happen, especially with the weapons that you're missing. But I did call it the other way. It just is what it is.
Yeah. This was a interesting game. It's only interesting because the playoffs matter in this game, and it only matters for the Rams. Mm-hmm. They're in a position where they need to win.
They need
to win out. They're battling with teams like Philadelphia, you know, to potentially get a wild card spot. Teams like Seattle in their own division, they're trying to go against to get a wild card spot. So this is a must win for them, and they did it. Just last week, we talked about how Todd Gurley hasn't been used. We don't know what it is. I said, I don't know if it's a playbook issue. I don't know what it is. What could it be? He got 25 carries. That was amazing to see. We haven't seen Todd Gurley get 20 carries. I don't think we've seen him get near 20 carries since the beginning of last season when he was an MVP candidate. So, you know, before he got injured. So that was definitely good to see. He also had 3 targets and 3 receptions. So, you know, the only thing it's always been an issue with his whole career has been fumbles. He doesn't hold the football. And I want to see better of that from him. But, you know, they did win. It was a game that they definitely needed to win. Chicago, on the other hand, I said this last week, we're looking forward to next season. That's what they need to be doing. They need to be looking at 2020, seeing what their position is in draft. I don't even think they draft this year. So, it's in the first round. So they need to figure something out, see what direction they're going. If they do not believe in Trubisky anymore, I think now is the time to start looking at the market, see where you can get value. You brought up last week, it's a possible landing spot for Cam Newton. With those receivers and that defense would work wonderful. So, you know, it's definitely something to keep an eye on. But as we head to the lesser of 2 exciting remaining games, the Eagles and the Patriots.
Now this game was interesting to me because we have our reigning champs against, you know, a rematch of the Super Bowl, basically. And it is exactly what I thought it was going to be. The Patriots are in a particular situation. Their offense is not... The defense is carrying this team all the way to the Super Bowl. Hands down, no question about it. The defense is carrying this team to the Super Bowl. But the offense is in such a predicament, it's kind of getting overlooked. Julian Edelman is one of the highly targeted receivers on this team. If he gets the most targets, because he's the only one. This season, the Patriots have gotten rid of three of their marquee receivers. Gordon, Brown, gone. Amendola was gone.
Dorsett is gone. Like, they've just been letting guys go. You're right.
They've just been letting guys go. And I want to know what the issue is. If you're looking to, well, if Tom Brady is looking to throw the ball, you need somebody to throw the ball too. It can't just be Julian Edelman. This is the first game where Julian Edelman threw more touchdown passes than Tom Brady. Tom Brady is not the lead touchdown passer. The only time this ever happened was when he got injured, and Jimmy G and Brissett were playing. So it's weird to see. You know, I mean, he still did go off 216, 20, you know, 20, 26 for 47, but it shouldn't have been this close. It should not have been this close. Surprisingly, the Patriots defense were getting worked by Carson Wentz and the offense. You know, just small mistakes offensively. Defensively on the Patriots side, but nothing crazy. If the Eagles can catch the damn ball, they win this game. Yep. No doubt about it. If they can catch the damn ball, they win this game. Yep. And you know, the number one target, Zach Ertz on the Eagles.
Which outside of him, everyone else can't catch. He's the only catcher they have. Outside of him, no one else can catch on the Eagles.
Yep. Nelson Aguilar, Drop City. And it's just unfathomable. And the rushing game is abysmal too.
They don't know who their running back is. They don't have a running back. They have about four or five of them. They don't know who's their running back though. And it's baffling to me. They have one of the better offensive lines in all of the NFL. One of the best offensive line across the board, from the left side to the right side. They have the group of five best men up front, and they cannot run the football.
Yeah, I don't get it. I really don't get it. They cannot run the football to save their lives.
Lane Johnson, Kelsey, and Jason Peters are all pro players, and they cannot run the football. It's mind boggling. It's mind boggling. I mean, as far as the Patriots go, I mean, they'll be all right.
It's just a win for them. That's it. They'll be all right. It's just a win for them. But the fact that it even came down to as close as it did. And, don't worry, we got another game that was just as close.
Kansas City and the Chargers.
Yep. This game.
I just want to say, before we even talk about this game, I've been having this argument for some time now, and is Phillip Rivers a Hall of Fame player? And my thing about Phillip Rivers being a Hall of Fame player is,
I don't think his numbers is done.
His numbers get him there. His numbers get him to the Hall of Fame. He's had
for sure.
14
he's definitely a Hall of Fame player.
14 years of consistency. He's had all these passing yards and touchdowns, games played. Phillip Rivers has under 10 playoff wins. Phillip Rivers has never been MVP. Phillip Rivers has been to one championship game. And he has never been to the Super Bowl.
Nope.
And people get on Eli Manning all the time. Oh, Eli was never better than Phillip. If Rivers was in, in New York, it'd be different. If Eli, let me tell you.
Here's the thing. I think Phillip Rivers' numbers may be better than Eli.
No, they're not.
Categories.
No, they're not.
in some categories. But here's the thing. Phillip Rivers has the most losses with the smallest differential. 61 losses over a career by 7 points or less. 61. So, you know, he's always been in competition. You know, there are games where he gets blown out and stuff like that. You know that kind of shit happens. But that kind of number over, that's like four seasons of losing by seven or less. You know what I mean? It kind of puts puts in your head like, this guy's always been in it to win it. It's just, there's always something missing. If it's not him, it's something else. And that's what it's been all season. With either the running game or the, you know, they're missing their one of their key receivers. Austin Eckler, if he gets the ball on this last drive and Phillip Rivers puts it where it needs to be, they win this game. And we're having a completely different conversation right now. But the fact that the Chiefs defense even allowed them to even march down the field like this. Oh my God. The pass to Williams, 51-yard pass, was incredible. Incredible. You could still see the arm strength is still there. It didn't die. It didn't go nowhere. Phillip Rivers can still throw the ball. He just doesn't have the pieces around him. They do need to re-strategize and figure out where they're going next. I don't think that Phillip Rivers is done. I don't think he's completely washed. His arm strength is still there. He's still an intelligent quarterback. I just think that the pieces around him and the direction that the Chargers are going in aren't completely solidified, especially with the whole situation debacle with not having Melvin Gordon in the beginning of the season. Not that saying that he would have been that much more effective on the team, but not having a clear direction. When things like that happen, it also, you know, changes the dynamic of the team. It did show that Austin Eckler is the lead guy as the running back, and I would like to see him more than Melvin Gordon. So we just really need to see where what's next for them, because that was a must-win game, and the Chiefs did what they do. It was pretty different because the Chiefs lost Hill to a hamstring injury early. So to see the Mahomes, you know, check down and you see his other targets and overcome this moment of adversity was good.
Phillip Rivers is done. He is done. They need his replacement. He hasn't won them anything in 15 years as a starter. He's never won them anything. You know, you can say what you want about, you know, them not being able to beat Tom Brady and Manning. It doesn't matter. He's never won anything for them of value. He's done. The team needs to rebuild offensively, to be quite honest. Melvin Gordon is ass. Austin Eckler, not that good. He's decent. I think in the right system, he might be something, but he's not that good. The offensive line is terrible. The receivers, on the other hand, Mike Williams is a very solid player. They can go ahead and trade him and get value for him.
Keenan Allen solid is a dog. Solid player.
That is a number one top receiver on the right team with the right quarterback. He needs to get out of there and get him some value. Austin Hooper, you can build around him a little bit with some sort of running game and offensive line. But the Chargers as a whole, not good. They're not that good. They made it to the playoffs last year. Their defense is they have some great players on defense. I'll give them that. They got some studs on the back end up front with Ingram and Bosa. They terrify people. They're legit on defense, but offensively, they're not good. Their opponents, the Kansas City Chiefs, Pat Mahomes, MVP-like game. Again, coming through in the clutch time and time again. these guys, he's back. I think he's feeling healthy. It's going to maybe take a little time for him to get into rhythm, but I think he's back, and these guys are going to just keep on rolling down the road. I think they need to be on the lookout just a little bit because Oakland is coming. Oakland is right behind them. And let me tell you, Oakland has played a lot of good games lately, and they can just easily sneak up and take a playoff spot, man. So, you know, they definitely got to watch out for them. They still have to play them again. So it's going to be something interesting to watch. Just stats that pop up, even though, you know, it's his second interception of the season. That's 20 interceptions to 20 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. You know, so Pat Mahomes is definitely doing his thing. But it was good to see Kelce be that number one guy for them again. I think he fell off when Pat Mahomes left. They didn't look for him as much. But 10 targets, he had 7 receptions, 92 yards and a touchdown. That was phenomenal. He played the part well. So I definitely think that they got a lot going on for them in the positive. And I look forward to it.
Yeah, and that brings us to the next game. The Jaguars versus the Colts. Now, I had the Jaguars coming out on this because I thought Nick Foles was going to be that guy coming out there, slinging it, returning to true form. Wasn't the case. The Colts, they wanted this bad. And Jacoby Brissett said, I'm taking this home. Even with his injury, he said, we are not to be fucked with. 148 yards, a TD, an interception. Cool. Happens. Jamal Williams, 116 yards on 13 carries. Phenomenal. Leonard Fournette on the other side. What is this guy doing? I thought a healthy Fournette would have been a dominating running back. Dominating. I thought he would at least broke, 800, 900 yards almost on his way to 1,000 yards this season. Nope. Not happening. Nick Foles, 33 to 40 out of 47. Not bad numbers, but the team needs a lot of work. Like I said, the running game, especially Fournette, he's averaging 2.9 yards this game. 2.9 yards this game. He's got one TD this whole season, which is shocking. Your lead running back only has one touchdown. Yeah, he's got 854 yards, but it's not enough. It's definitely not enough. The team can't go on like this. Nick Foles needs to, be able to get that connection with D.D. Westbrook again. And Chark is still doing his thing. Chark is the number one guy, but he needs to be able to find other avenues to help this offense move along. You can't just use Chris Conley and DJ Chark and expect them to carry the team offensively. The offensive line, they need some work. The Jacksonville Jaguars need a lot of work, and to be honest, I don't think they're in contention anymore. I think they're done for the season.
Oh yeah, I definitely feel like they're done for the season as well. I think what we're seeing from Fournette is just a byproduct of the system. They've completely moved away from running the football, and I think it definitely does have a lot to do with the offensive line. I think that's the biggest reason for them not running the football the way they should. Now, in terms of, the Colts, they needed this. They were, at the beginning of Sunday, they were on the outside looking in if the playoffs started Sunday. So this was something that they definitely needed. It catapults them right to the top of the division in the South. This was a division game, so it's something that they definitely needed to do, which was win the game. And like you said, not a great showing by Brissett, but he got the job done. Williams, of course, phenomenal. Marlon Mack, phenomenal. Both of those guys had 12-plus carries, and over 100 yards. So it's definitely a welcoming sight. And then, of course, he spread the ball. He found different receivers. So, that's something good to see from your quarterback, especially when you have a, up-and-coming defense, a strong and solid offensive line, and a chance to go ahead and step up and say, hey, you know, we want to get to the playoffs and we want to win this division and we want to dominate our division rivals. So, you know, they definitely did something good in terms of winning a football game. But, yeah, it's done and over for Jacksonville. I think they need to start looking towards next year as far as the Colts go. They've now entrenched themselves as the number three seed. So, you know, it's up to them to keep that up. It's up to them to keep on winning and to keep, you know, playing good football.
Yeah, the Colts are the number one in AFC South right now, which is that's Houston's fault. But the running game, the Colts' running game is effective.
It's the offensive line.
They showed it against the Chiefs. They were able to manage, control the clock with their running game. Marlon Mack, 109 yards on 14 carries. Jonathan Williams, 116 yards on 13 carries. The dual running back system, again, like I said, they even have it in Green Bay with Williams and Jones. The dual running back system is coming back, and I'm telling you, this is the most effective. No more load management. We're talking about interchangeable pieces in your team that you can use effectively. No more number one here, number one there. I mean, of course, you have to declare a guy as number one, but to be able to change your pieces offensively like you do in chess is perfect. I think that's what's really helping them offensively, very effective. Jacoby Brissett, he's looking better and better every game since the injury. I think that the Colts are long, long far from being out of contention. They are in it, and we're going to have to see how the AFC is going to get shaken up, especially with some of the losses that happened this weekend.
Yep. And, of course, as we come to an end, yes, I know it's a short show. But we'd first like to give a shout-out to Daniel Nance for the big donation this week.
Thank you, sir.
We really appreciate that. You know, that's why we do this. For you guys to, you know, definitely get some type of inspiration and entertainment from what we do. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, we want to thank you and reach out to all you guys who continue to support us, continue to reach out to us on our social media and our blog site, coveredseasonb.home.blog. And you could reach us on Twitter at @coveredseason, or you can hit us up on Instagram, coverage_season. And we appreciate y'all.